Welcome to the PR Works podcast, Business Way Outside the Box. I'm your host, Steve Dubin. I'm the founder of PR Works, a full-service public relations agency based in America's hometown, Plymouth, Mass. The theme of our show is unusual businesses or unusual approaches to business. If you think you have a company that fits that bill, please contact us at prworkzone.com, and we'd be happy to consider that. Today we have a special guest, Kevin Dubois, who's president and CEO of Lapel's Dry Cleaning. Kevin and I have known each other for about a decade as we've helped with some of the public relations and growth of the company. And Lapel's takes a very unique approach to dry cleaning. And let me introduce Kevin to the show. Hello, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Steve. Nice to see you.
You too. Tell me, this is hardly your first entrepreneurial venture.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I started my first business, my first real business. I mean, I guess, you know, as I think back on it, you know, when I was very young, I mean, like 9, 10 years old, I had my grandmother making tarts and, you know, making homemade lemonade, putting that in a wheelbarrow and walking with my German Shepherd up to the Barnstable County Fairgrounds. And I'd set up a little stand right outside the gate. You know, at that age, obviously, they wouldn't let me go into the gates and set up a real concession. But as people would come up to the gate to buy tickets, I'd sell them, you know, my grandma's tots for 10 cents and a glass of lemonade for 5 cents. And very often, you know, I'd get a $5 bill as a tip. And, you know, that was, I guess that was like the start of it. And the only reason I say that is because I'm thinking about my dad, who is today running concessions in that same fairground. You know, he's there tonight. Doing concessions for what is now, you know, a drive-in movie theater. You know, so I'm thinking back, that was probably like the start of my entrepreneurship. But the very first like real business I had was 18. And I started a restaurant, leased it from a hotelier. My family, my dad especially, was starting to lease restaurants from country clubs and hotels. And he predominantly did that down the Cape. And that was really sort of my, you know, my first vision into owning a business. And, you know, my dad was really starting to take on many of these accounts. The South Shore Music Circus was an outside music venue. And he would lease the concession stands and do the hospitality for the entertainers there. And became very friendly with a hotelier down the Cape. That then bought a hotel off Cape and had called to pitch that to my dad, who at the time was on vacation. I took the call as if I were him. We had the same name. The junior kind of came in handy for me that first call. And, you know, basically fielded it as, hey, you know, we'd love to talk to you. Turned around and called my dad, who was in Las Vegas on vacation. And he was less than enthusiastic. As you know, being from the South Shore, a lot of times people that have lives, businesses, homes down the Cape like the Cape and don't really like leaving the bridge. And this hotel happened to be off Cape on the South Shore. So he really wasn't as excited about it as I was. And so I hung up with him, sort of disappointed for a couple of minutes. Got back on the phone with the hotelier and said, yeah, we'd love to. This sounds great. Let's get together tomorrow. And wound up going up, meeting with that hotelier at 18. And they were so, I think, anxious to get rid of food and beverage back then that they said, hey, when can you start? I said, Monday. And I was off to the races. Wound up making a deal with my dad to make his car payments as a referral bonus. And that was really the start of it. And that one restaurant turned into six within a couple of years. That turned into buying a restaurant and piece of property from what was the founder of Lapel's. And that was sort of the progression. And that was the entry into Lapel's.
And that restaurant was the Sun Tavern in Duxbury?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you have you been there
I
before?
have.
Kind of an
I even
18th
know about the
century.
ghost. Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
yeah. 18th century farmhouse. Been a restaurant forever. At 6-1, there's certain points of that restaurant that I'd have to duck to not hit my head on the ceilings. It was so low, but really cool building. Definitely sold me on haunted dwellings. There were some pretty wild events that happened before and after me there. But yeah, great building, and that was my entry into owning a piece of real estate, the restaurant, and meeting Larry Friedman, who was the founder of LaPelle's Dry Cleaning.
Right, and so tell us a little bit about the progression of from restaurateur to dry cleaning.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because, in the restaurant world, I had always known nights and weekends and holidays and long hours and long weeks. It's definitely a grind. The adrenaline rush of restaurants is like no other, but it's a full-time commitment and then some. And when I bought that restaurant from Larry, in essence, we got along really well. And he said, if you ever get tired of this restaurant gig, give me a call. And he knew I had some franchising background with the hotels and restaurants. And, so that was always sort of weighing in the back of my mind. And I saw myself kind of getting in that same trap that my dad was in, where you're really hostage to the restaurant world. My wife was going to cocktail parties on Friday nights, and I was going to the restaurant, and, she was going to family events on holidays. I was going back to the restaurant. So, I got to a point where I was like, geez, let's call this Friedman character and have a conversation with him about it. And as I started to not only see what he was doing with LaPelle's, which seemed really cool to me, a startup franchise, but also just started looking at the business model. So, the business model of restaurants and dry cleaning, they're like polar opposites. And what I mean by that is, like, in the restaurant world, cost of goods is like a big number. It's a 20 to 40% number, and it is super hard to manage that number because you're buying a lot of perishables. You're hoping that it doesn't rain, snow, the Patriots aren't on, the open house, all these variables that are very hard to predict in the future. And so I found myself in this trap of hoping to run a good food cost, not doing it, starting over the next week with a game plan that, hey, this week we're going to do it. And, one of those things would pop up. And in the dry cleaning industry, as I looked at it, I said, geez, wow, there's no inventory. Cost of goods is super low. At that point, the average dry cleaner was probably running about 8 or 9% cost of goods. And in LaPelle's world, we've got that number down to about 5% now. There was no nights, there was no weekends, there was no holidays. So everything I didn't like about the restaurant industry didn't exist in this business model. And so I was really attracted to it for all the things that I didn't like about the restaurant world.
Okay. And so, where are you at with LaPelle's now? Number of units and number of states and that kind of enormity.
Yeah, so we just this past year crossed over the 100 store mark, and we are in 16 states. And what we have found is, our business model is very much hub and spokes, meaning that first store that we build is what we call a plant. And when I say plant, it still has a retail front to it. Consumers are still coming in and dropping off clothes, but it's where all the dry cleaning happens. And we build that plant to service five additional satellite stores. So what we're finding is that when once we have that plant, we very often start building the satellite stores around it, multi-unit operators very often, more often than not. And so as we open in a store, we tend to grow in that state. But at this point, 16 states.
And one of the things that has driven growth is that you've got a real, not only a good operation and a profitable one, but it's also a very green one. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so Larry, the founder, was in the dry cleaning industry prior. And what really kind of drove the mission out of the gate is that he had used PERC, known carcinogen now, The challenge with Perk is that it cleans very well, and your old school dry cleaners think there's nothing better. However, it's heavier than groundwater. So if you go out into the road and you poured it on the road, it would eat through the gravel, it would eat through the soil, it would go lower than the groundwater, it would contaminate the groundwater, and that's exactly what happened with Larry and his operation. Turned into a $1 million cleanup. It was the front page of the Boston Globe. And he really was, you know, he sort of learned a lot there, and he thought, geez, there's got to be a better way to do this. So, you know, fast forward, he opens Lapels, and there's always this mission then of being eco-friendly. And back then, you know, there were really two impediments to that. One, you know, eco-friendly back in 1999 wasn't what it is today. You know, eco-friendly was, you know, a bunch of people that were eating granola bars out in the field, and, you know, we're sort of misplaced from the world. And the equipment companies really had no pressure to do anything better. And dry cleaning, you know, was really sort of slow to embrace any change. And so we started really kind of pushing the envelope in all aspects, whether that was building the stores with, you know, the no VOC paint, the, you know, marble and slate that we used, natural stones, recycling things. And then, you know, sort of gravitated more into the detergents and the solvents. And, you know, so fast forward to today, we use the world's only 100% environmentally non-toxic cleaning. The solvent that we use breaks down naturally to sand and water. We couple that with true wet cleaning, tied to a boiler, you know, running 180 degree constant steam temperature. So we've really pushed it from all aspects, the lighting in our signage, the building of our store, the detergents and solvents. And that's been very well received by franchise owners who are looking to be in an eco-friendly green business and sort of, you know, part of the future of dry cleaning, as well as our customers. And that's helped us to land customers like MIT and Harvard and General Dynamics and Intel, Google, where those companies really want to partner with somebody that can offer sustainable dry cleaning.
Great. And one of the testimonies to your system is your original franchisee is now your head of business development, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael Eisner was our very first franchise owner back in the year 2000. The founders had started the very first corporate store. Michael said, hey, you know, I want in on this. He was working for Bose Corporation and spending about 200 nights a year on the road, and loved the model, and wound up buying that corporate store, taking it over. He built that into a great little business. He wound up selling it about 5 years later for about five times what he paid for it. And he's been in our office running franchise development and our annual fantasy football league for years.
That's a nice combination. I don't know which pays better.
Yeah. Well, he would tell you that he is a guru in both of them.
Okay. As well as ribs. I know that part too.
Yeah.
And you've also written a book about franchising, entrepreneurship, and dry cleaning. Can you talk a little bit about sort of what that has done for you, the book?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great partnership with a guy named Roger McManus. We wrote a book called Entrepreneurial Insanity in the Dry Cleaning Industry. And the basic premise applies to a lot of small business, which is, you know, a lot of times you have these grandiose plans and the strategic marketing for when you start the business, and then the business opens and day one, you know, Susie calls in sick and you're covering that shift, and then, you know, piece of equipment needs maintenance and you become the repair guy, and all of a sudden the business is running you and you're not running the business. And so the basic premise was, hey, you know, time out, let's look at the big picture, let's go back to the strategic plan and make sure that we're doing that. And for me, you know, I fell into all those traps. I mean, at 18 years old, I was chief cook and bottle washer. I was trying to cook breakfast and then set up the banquets and then go sell the weddings and then break down the weddings and set up for a meeting in the morning. And fortunately for me, as the business grew, I just knew I couldn't do that. I knew I had to have somebody strong in catering that could sell weddings, and somebody strong in the kitchen that could orchestrate the meals, and somebody that could actually handle the management of the restaurants and somebody that could set up the banquets. And so I was sort of forced to do those things just simply because of the growth of that entity. And so that was the basic premise of the book. And, you know, it was interesting because in the dry cleaning industry, there's not a lot of content. And so we had real good success with the book. I think, you know, we've had Cleaner Supply, who is the national vendor. I think they just ordered like their 10th fill of books from us. We sell it directly on Amazon. We sell it directly on Kindle. And it's been, it was a great process for me. Roger taught me a lot about publishing and writing, which was certainly not my forte. And it was a great experiment for us. And we had great success with it.
Great. And you know, one might assume that the kind of franchisee that you look for is a hardcore, experienced dry cleaner. Is that so?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That is what a lot of people assume. And it's funny how many conversations we have with an engineer or somebody in finance. And we say, no, actually, you are our prototypical franchisee. It's somebody that's coming from corporate America, very often had been successful in some industry, but it could have been engineering or finance or the oil industry. And they've wanted to open their own business and are looking at multiple different business types and are drawn to the dry cleaning industry typically for the same reasons I was, which is this isn't a fad. It's going to be around forever. Has really good, you know, metrics and benchmarks in terms of a business model.
And there are a lot of folks who are tuning in now who sort of scratch their head and they're considering either starting their own business to control their fate or potentially looking at a franchise. What would you advise them to do?
Yeah, no, I think, and you know, it's funny, I think today there's more and more of those people. You know, we're seeing a bigger uptick in franchise development as it relates to, you know, everything going on with COVID in the world and layoffs and furloughs. I think that sort of has pushed a lot of people to do things that were on their radar and accelerate it. And so it really kind of depends on the person. For me, you know, when I started my first restaurant at 18, it was part of a franchise system. It was a Holiday Inn hotel, and I was a sub-franchisee back then. It's nice to have a proven business model with a recipe for success that you follow. And there are some people that are really good at following that system and, hey, tell me what I need to do and I'll go do it. And we've made 20 years of mistakes for you, and we've taken all the good and packaged it up for you and hand it to you. And you know, if you kind of look at everything going on in the world today, I mean, what we're doing with our franchise owners in terms of the pivoting, the national relationships with hotels and companies and Airbnb and rolling out a new laundry program just this afternoon and all the stuff we do with our website and social media on behalf of our franchisees. So, you know, I kind of gear towards that because I've always known that. And I just, you know, I like having the sort of proven business model.
Okay. And lastly, what's the best way to find you and get more information about Lapels?
Well, the easiest way today is lapelsfranchise.com. That's our franchising website and has a lot of information there, and then as well as contact information. My Lapels is our retail page. We'll kind of direct you to franchising. You know, both are great ways to start with us.
Okay, well, great. Kevin, thank you very much for being our guest. That concludes another exciting episode of PR Works Podcast, Business Way Outside the Box. The theme is unusual businesses or unusual approaches to business. If you think you have a company, again, that fits that bill, please contact us at prworkzone.com. And we look forward to seeing you further down the road. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me. This was great.